Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Wicked Anime, proudly present the Anime Boston 2018 Post Show, Part 1.
さあ、扉を開けて、未知なるパラダイス、体験しよう。
おいで、おいでよ。
君を待つのは、
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to Boston Bastard Brigade's Anime Boston 2018 Post Show, Part 1. I am your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo. With me is my con buddy, a late for Derek.
How's it going, guys?
And we also have our good buddies and our cohorts from Wicked Anime, the stupid, awesome analyst, Jonathan, and the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello, hi.
I just realized I used your real name.
Well, you also have a visual of him on camera.
So that is true. Yeah. Okay, because, yeah, here's the thing. We are actually doing a video version. We're doing a video version for Wicked Anime as well. So you're going to, of course, hear the first part here on Boston Bash Brigade. And then on the second part, you're going to, of course, hear it from Wicked Anime. Mm-hmm. So in our segment, we're going to be talking about cosplay and guests. And on the Wicked Anime segment, we're going to be talking about merch and panels.
Yes.
But before we dive into that, I figured our initial reactions to Anime Boston 2018, how would we rate it on a scale from 0 to 10? Because for me personally, I felt like I had a little bit more fun this year than I did last year. I don't know if
really?
You feel this way. Here's the reason why.
Last year was a blast.
Yeah. Last year was fun, but man, I was exhausted as hell after last year.
I am definitely the least exhausted I have ever been at a convention, especially for the end of this one.
Yes.
I've had the most rest possible. We really scheduled out ourselves really well, especially because our panels were in the evening this time. I mean, our press panels were in the evening this time.
And you still have your voice.
Still have
your
voice.
Yes, still have your voice.
Which we'll talk about later. But we were able to rest up so that we could go to our 1 and 2 a.m. panels this time around.
Yes.
And also do our press panels. We didn't have to get up at like 10 a.m. or 8 a.m. Like we
had, I had to.
I know you had to, but last year we had an 8 a.m. press panel.
You did an 8 a.m. press
panel? I think so, yeah. Oh, 8 a.m. When time is the con open? Whatever, it doesn't matter. It was probably at 10 and we had to be up by 8. So either way, I feel like we were able to stay in a sense of equilibrium and
it was like a good pace.
Yeah, it was
good pace.
Yeah, good pacing and good scheduling. So,
I will say, last night I had the best night of sleep I've ever had at a convention. I don't know if I feel this because I'm a bit of a snore, so I'm like, oh crap, how did Derek feel after last night?
I've got about 4 hours between the past two nights combined.
Oh shit, I'm sorry, dude.
But that's neither here nor there.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been hit with something. It's not a complaint. It's not that, which I'm happy about, but I've been just hit with something.
The adrenaline is gone.
Maybe I'm old now. Well, right? You know? I mean, just like part of that.
Who knows?
No, it's good. Yeah. No,
go right ahead.
Go right ahead.
We're making ambience.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're in the hall in Sheraton on the second floor. People are going to be walking back and forth, but it's going to create this sort of realism of what it's like to be trying to like do guerrilla podcasting.
All you have to do is just have a little bit of closing time playing lightly in the background.
You guys aren't filming.
Go right ahead.
Yes, everybody keep on going. Random guests. We're going to have the most guests on this podcast show, whether they like it or not. But
setting records.
Yes, we are going to be setting records.
All right, let's get back.
But all in all, like this
what
year...
What are we talking about?
are great for Anime Boston 2018, because I feel like...
Okay. Turn that screen around.
I feel like all in all, we could probably give it... Oh, what are you doing?
I'm just turning the screen around so that nobody can see the playback.
Oh, gotcha. I'm okay.
All right, so 0 to 10.
0 to 10. I would actually give it a... I can't give it an 8, but I feel like I can score it higher than 7. So I can put it like in between there, like a 7.5.
7.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose you can. Yeah. I mean,
Six point five for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why.
I was actually going to say 6 myself, and honestly, at least one of the two AACs I've been to have ranked above this one. Ouch.
Wow.
Yeah, see, and
but it's because it's a different dynamic, though. Like, this is supposed to be big and a bunch of stuff, and you know, AAC is supposed to be more small and intimate. It seemed like everything was just kind of happening everywhere, and there was a good sense of control and organization, but sometimes things just kind of slipped here or there. And
yeah, we had some delays in panels, delays in guests, and delays in getting into a show.
As far as the show itself went, it went business as usual.
Yeah, as usual.
And, you know...
And maybe that's why it has to do with such a low score for me, and I say that 6.5 is a low score for me, because maybe... It is becoming business as usual now, which I don't think people should take my number and my score as how I feel about the con as a whole, because I love Anime Boston so much, it's my favorite. But at 6.5 for me, the same things are happening over and over again, and maybe that's just the way I'm experiencing it now.
Right.
I don't know. That's something to think about.
Just getting old.
Yeah.
Easy stage to understand how amazing cars used to be.
I'm thinking that maybe high school students, when I first came in 2008, would experience this as a 10. You know, just as con attendees. But for me, maybe it's getting a little too busy for an entire weekend.
Like, I might be a tough scorer, but the way I think of it is, if I'm doing 50, that's me being completely indifferent. So this is, I'm not going to say I'm seasoned, but this is my fourth con now. I've done Anime Boston once before, so I've come in. It's all everything I expected from last year. And so from it was, yes, there's some new material and stuff, but then at certain times I'm like, all right, let's do the whole routine again. All right.
Yeah, but last year was awesome.
So it's still, still scored in the positive end. Yeah. I just can't go way, way, way above and beyond.
You know what I think really...
I have to compare it to last year.
You know what exactly. I think really made last year amazing was the theme. And everybody was running with the theme
with retro.
And because, I mean, that's my jam. Like, that's where I exist. I mean, right in my bag that's sitting right here right next to me are a bunch of animation and production cells. Just because I love that stuff, you know, and you go to the old shows, and I feel like anime still exists in a bubble, you know, we all appreciate it as a medium, but this is the good stuff, you know, so it's just like, oh, retro year, that's me, so.
We've got a couple of good See You Later Space Cowboys, and some Gundams here and there strewn about.
But, they announced next year, which is...
Feudal Japan.
Yeah, Shoguns and Samurai.
Which, by the way, our friend Eric Agami from Skirt Rhapsody called, like, half an hour before the closing ceremonies even began.
Mm. All over on Twitter.
Yes.
That's going to be awesome. Because, I mean, and especially with going into the hardcore anime panel next year, doing Samurai and Shogun is easy. There's so many Samurai and Shogun where they just cut each other to pieces.
Ninja Scroll, for one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I might need to find a nice Mugen coat.
we could just get a live-action Grindhouse film that has a katana in it. We could use that clip for it.
Sure.
Lady Snowblood.
Yeah, and maybe, what was a Takashi Miike film?
Oh, yeah.
13 Assassins.
No, the one that just came out. The one where the guy doesn't die. Blade of the Immortal?
Blade of the Immortal,
Where he literally, like, gets cut to pieces in every scene, and...
That too.
That would be really good.
Yeah.
So we're already putting the panel together right now. See, and that was easy. This year was hard to make a hardcore anime panel for.
Because it really is a much hardcore anime space. Yeah. If you think about it, like, what's a hardcore anime that takes place out in outer space?
Jason X. So what are we talking about on your episode? cosplay and guests.
So... All right, let's talk about first the cosplay stuff, because I feel like that could be a little bit easier than talking about the guests, but I feel like, yeah, My Hero Academia was like the big one to be cosplaying once again.
Yeah.
Because that's the anime that I feel like isn't going to be going away anytime soon, especially with the fact that I feel like Studio Bones is learning, if we can do this show, like 25 episodes a season, take a break, and then come back, like, you know, the American productions do, we can keep this train going until there's no more chapters in My Hero Academia.
Which will never happen. They're going to Naruto the hell out of that.
Oh, it's spin-offs, everything.
Well, to be fair, Naruto went non-stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so does One Piece, and it's still going.
Yeah.
At least Naruto ended.
Yeah, the creator is going to die from exhaustion before One Piece is ever finished. I'm, like, calling it 5 years from now.
Well, Berserk Dude's still holding on.
Well, he's on hiatus, because every time an Idolmaster game comes out, he needs to play it. I'm not joking, that's the actual reason.
Cosplay, though.
Actually, Old Mermaid Man.
Yes, I saw him.
That totally made that was my jam. Yeah. Like there's an older man just doing his thing, being Mermaid Man at a convention.
Evil.
Like that made me so happy as a human being.
Yeah.
My personal favorite one had to be the full coat of armor, complete with sword, shield, and cape, made entirely of Magic the Gathering cards.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite part was on the back of the cape. They alternated front-facing and back-facing cards in order to show all six of the mana symbols going down the back of the cape.
That was pretty great.
She said it took her about 2 weeks to do it. I totally believe her, and honestly, I actually thought it would take a little bit longer. But so much respect for that. I immediately had to take a picture. Love it.
I would say my favorite had to be Old School Voltron. I don't know if you guys saw.
Yes,
it. I did.
That was actually literally walking into the con on Friday. First thing Friday, I was like, I'm taking a picture.
Oh, did you see Hockey Voltron?
No,
someone actually was in full legitimate hockey equipment, but the jersey was custom made to look like the Voltron crest and the arms coming down.
What?
On the back was a number and it said Voltron. The socks were, but like blue and
yellow.
I actually remember the legs, oh my god. But it was so unique, and the fact that it was all actual hockey equipment, like he had full pads on, was a nice little take on it, I think.
Could we have a Gundam-based hockey anime or something like that?
I would love to see, actually, if they could do all five colors, to have a hockey team out there all in Voltron colors.
Before we do a Gundam hockey anime, I just mean, you know, regular hockey anime. That needs some love. In this day and age of really popular sports anime.
Like, right. I mean, for Christ's sakes, we're getting badminton.
It has bad in the name. What the hell?
But we are getting beach volleyball as well.
So yeah, okay. Yeah, which looks actually really cool.
Yeah,
and horse racing.
Yes, Uma Musume. We'll probably be talking about that on our main next episode of Wicked Anime about the spring 2018 first impression.
Yeah, that's going to be the next episode.
Yep. Yes.
Is it the black
horse? But yeah, some very impressive cosplay. I really, really felt like... granted, like I said, there was a lot of My Hero Academia, but I feel like there was a lot of scattering with different series. And as much as like I loved seeing the Voltron, I didn't see too much of anything going with the theme of space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw an abundance of Mage's Bride.
And there was also a lot of Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon. Well, think about that Viz had the whole Sailor Moon themed masquerade that was going on. I feel like that played a big role.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was. I didn't even know that was happening.
It was just a Sailor Moon themed masquerade. A regular masquerade, but it's all Sailor Moon. That's what I'm assuming. We should. If Erika Gami was here, she could have filled this in because she was actually part of the competition.
Oh.
But enough about that. Now that we've talked about the cosplay, let's talk about the guests, because Boston Bash Brigade interviewed 8 people. You guys interviewed 3. Well, not everybody. I actually took a step back and only interviewed the Japanese music guests and some of like the really big like American voice actors I wanted to talk with, a couple of whom I've talked to beforehand, but I just had a blast chatting with them before.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with ours because we had a shorter list. Yeah. First we started with Steve Bloom,
which was a dream.
Yeah, because Wicked Anime was missing Steve Bloom, and I told him that. I was just like, we've been searching for your interview for a long, long time, and we only got to ask 2 questions for the whole round. It was a hugely crowded room.
And long answers, too.
Very long answers. I think, and I find that often guests, when we do press panels, often give long, rambling answers. And I believe they do that because they want to make sure that they answer the question. And because they don't want to, like, disappoint the person who asked the question and be like, because sometimes they even ask, yes. Did I answer the question? You know, like, But no, Steve was cool, very chill, which was interesting. I mean, I kind of expected that from him, for sure, and it was great.
He always plays cool characters.
Something to point out for the rest of press, though, man, am I really getting tired of the abundant... What advice would you give somebody to the anime industry? Well, I can't even imagine how tired they are of that question.
That's why I always do my best to not ask stuff like that.
Well, and that's why we...
What was the most challenging role you had to take over?
Well, we always... At Wicked Anime, we always aim to ask questions that I would consider personal. You know, because I want them to feel like, oh, they're actually asking a question about me. You know, and like I asked, what was the worst job you've ever had?
I love those, and it looks like the guests love those too.
Well, because, I mean, I want to think about questions that I would want to be asked. Like, if somebody was interviewing me, what would I want them to ask me? Hey, what was the worst job you've ever had? Easy. Cut and dry. I've had so many terrible jobs. Everybody's had a terrible job in their life.
Yeah.
And that's the opportunity to just tell a funny story, which Mary Elizabeth McGlynn did amazingly.
Yes.
Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, when I asked her what was the worst job she ever had, just ran with that. And
which I know, spinning the wheel in a bar.
Yeah, which Mary Elizabeth McGlynn is one of... She was a dream to
Very
interview.
Upbeat.
She
yes.
was a dream to interview. She was so wonderful and so into it. Mm. And... I loved every second of that interview. That was probably one of my favorite interviews I have ever done for press. So that's a highlight. Thank you, Mary Elizabeth. I love you. Play some D&D sometime.
Have us on Critical Role.
Yeah, right. And then we had Stephanie Shea. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was an interesting interview, especially because we've been also waiting to interview her for a long time, too.
And this is actually my second time doing an interview with her. However, the first time I ever interviewed her, unbeknownst to me, the battery of my recorder died 5 minutes into the recording. So it's lost forever.
Wow. Yeah. And that was it for us. We only did those 3, so we were free and clear after that. So
I gotta say though, when the listeners hear it, there was an absolute holy shit answer when it came to me asking about a silent voice, because her going deep into
yes.
the production of that, the English production, and just how much that I didn't realize, not because I was blinded by these facts, but more because I was ignorant, not knowing that these facts even existed.
I sure. loved the point that she made in her answer about YouTube videos not having closed captions. Like, that was one thing that I loved in her answer that she really pointed out. Because
some videos do, though.
I know they do, but yes, I was thinking about all the ones, and I was like, I've never thought about that before. Never thought about closed captions.
I mean, there's this auto generate
content. You have to do something that has the support in order to do that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have, you can do, like, the auto-generated ones in English, but those can be...
Hilarious. Yeah.
Well, hilarious.
Did you know that a lot of the bigger YouTube channels out there, fans actually take the time to do the subtitles for the creators? Because the subtitles can be user-created.
Yeah.
And so fans will just go on and, like, it's like, oh, I have some time to kill, and make the subtitles for episodes themselves.
That's awfully nice.
Yeah, that is very awfully nice.
It's a nice community moment there.
Yeah.
Kind of. But YouTube sucks. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. So they're just given a blank slate. They're like, okay, guys, just do something, and if we think it's offensive, we'll just do something about it.
Everything's offensive on YouTube.
Therein lies the controversy, but that's like another hour-long
conversation. Yeah. We don't have time for it.
But besides all those, we got to interview the two Japanese music guests. We got to talk to Asuka, who,
yes,
she is so sweet and kind. And when it turns out, as you'll
she
hear...
She loves one of my favorite animes from the spring is Junji Ito Collection. She just lit up, oh my gosh, do you guys know Junji Ito Collection? And I just looked at you like, yes, oh my gosh, yes, I love it. I will never think of vegetable oil the same way. And
dude,
she started laughing.
I gotta get you all the books that I have. Because I literally have every single American released Junji Ito book.
Beautiful, because the stories are great, but it's just so visually well put together.
And much better than Studio Deen did in the anime. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Very surprised at the opening ceremonies when she told everybody, I just graduated from high school this year.
Yeah.
You know? What? Wait, what?
She's been a singer since, like, 12 or 13.
That doesn't surprise me.
It does not surprise me at all, but...
You know what else I liked about her interview?
Yeah.
Native Michiganer, or however you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Everyone was asking where she's from, instantly put up the hand and goes, oh, right about here.
Yeah.
You know, because there's that part right up here, I'm right about here.
Yeah.
Michiganite,
yes. It's not in the interview, but I wanted to ask her, like, after the fact in case it was too personal. But yeah, she grew up in Michigan, because that's where half of my family is from. They're from the Traverse City, Saginaw area. So I thought it was really cool, and... I think I love the answer she gave, because at this time she's not really she's only in the process of recording singles, but she's not going to be doing like a full on album as of yet. But when she does, she wants it to be something that connects her past works from these singles to the present of who she is going to grow into, like the woman that she wants to be.
Michiganians.
So that was fun. Flo was really cool, but again, you got like five people in the band trying to like answer the question. It's always going to be a little bit chaotic.
Yeah, but
interesting. Okay.
We also did get to go to their concert too, which their concert was pretty hype.
Yeah,
it was a dope concert. And
I didn't go to the concert. What did I do?
Oh, I chose food.
Yeah,
right. Which Derek also could have probably surprised him in that time.
Yeah, it's. Maybe it's just me that I just get a little too picky, but the acoustics from where they put us in the press.
No, I agree with you.
So we were right next to a speaker, so we had that directly at us, but we were also tucked in a corner, so we were getting the echo as it bounced to the back and then hit us, so everything just turned into kind of a muddled blur between the drums and the rhythm guitar. You could hear the singer, bass, you can never hear bass, I'm a bassist myself, but you can never hear bass. I could see him playing slap, and it looked like he was doing a really damn good job.
Except for the part where they were introducing the band members, and then it started with the drum solo, and then it started with the bass solo, which was awesome.
Yes.
And then they introduced the guitar player, who did not do a guitar solo. He walked out on stage in an LED-lit jacket wearing a Red Sox hat and a cane that he was dancing with Sweet Caroline.
I had huge problems with that. I'm sorry. That was pandering. It was like, obvious, corny Boston thing. It's like doing a Google search for things Boston likes, and you see the seventh inning stretch at a Red Sox game.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Coming from a completely different country on the other side of the world, granted, they like baseball there, but to know the exact thing that Red Sox fans like...
Unless Anime Boston just set that up for them.
Because, I mean, like, if you think about it, I feel like it would be kind of challenging if I were to Google Japanese baseball traditions for a certain team. You know, I feel like that would be kind of hard to find.
It would be hard to
find. So like, I kind of appreciate the fact that they found Sweet Caroline, unless they just ask somebody in Boston. It's like, oh, we want to dance to a song to pander to them. What should it be? Sweet Caroline, just Sweet Caroline.
Maybe if it was something they already knew about and they wanted to do this and, like, throw that there, but if it was just the organizers saying, listen, guys, you should do something Boston. Here's something that Boston fans usually do.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, it's, it takes, so while we were there, we were able to take pictures for the first couple songs.
Yep.
Which was great. So we got to take pictures, but then a hiccup came along down the line where we actually only got to do one of the songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there was, I think the staff was a little confused as to where the media was supposed to go, because we had a couple people telling us to go up one floor and wait around this corner and you will be escorted to your area. So as we were sitting there, we heard the set start. And at that moment, we just, like, heart sank. We're like, oh, we're missing it right now.
Yeah.
We're immediately finding people, like, what's going on? What's going on? They're like, we don't know. We're going to find out what's going on. Hang on there. And we're just hearing the music going, like, down the hall from us. We're like, whoa.
I could actually see directly through ConOps. I could see the backstage, and there was a monitor with them on the screen, and there was, there was a staff, the president was there, like the Anime Boston president was right there, and he was watching the monitor and everything like that, and it's just like, it's right there.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah. But then we got in for the last song. The last song that we could cover. We could cover the first three songs, and we got in on the third song. We got down there, I snapped like 40, 50 pictures. Yeah. Got maybe 10 good ones.
Yeah, I took as many pictures as I could, and I just posted it onto the Boston Bastard Brigade Facebook page, and Anime Boston liked it already, so I was like, okay. I guess you did a good job.
So, yeah. But I thought the concert was fun. I thought it was good. And they put on a good show.
Mm-hmm. Good. Any more guests?
Let's see. I did talk to Monica Real again. She's one of my favorite people. Got the chat about Tiny the Evil. And I liked her answer. And I don't want to spoil the answer of her portrayal of Tiny the Evil. But one thing I do want to say is that she has found that Funimation is trying to pair her up with the roles of Yuki Aoi, who also does the voice of Froppy from My Hero Academia. And, you know, fingers crossed, that means she'll be voicing Aho Girl when the time comes.
That would be a perfect partner.
Yeah, I feel like she's the only like voice actress I could actually picture dubbing Aho Girl perfectly. Mm-hmm. But I can understand why they wouldn't have done it during a simulcast, because it would have destroyed her voice each week.
Yep.
I did chat with Greg Ayers, and I know like Greg, why hasn't it taken this long for me to interview him? Well, you know, I figured that he's been coming here since, what, 2005? Mm-hmm. And I feel like at this point, maybe, just maybe, we could do a one-on-one with him. And I'd be like, do a present. And turns out that was the case. So we got the chat, and he fucking loves this convention. He loves this convention to get. He likes to call it the biggest small convention in the country.
That's what I called it, and I didn't even know that's like what he called it.
Yeah.
That's literally what I like have labeled Anime Boston on, just on my own terms, just calling it, it's the biggest little convention I've ever been to, and
yeah.
It's like Reno. I do like that response from the girls whenever J. Michael Tatum gets up there, though, and that was great getting to see him this year.
Yeah, which, I mean, we could have had the opportunity to interview him here, but I love our one-on-one time with him at anime convention.
I think it was better to branch out to the others, where it was a nice surprise to see him here, but we did get to actually have that one-on-one time at AAC, so
right,
time is better spent elsewhere.
Which, fingers crossed, we may get to. I definitely want to do that again with him this coming year, if he is a guest.
Yeah, that's another, fingers crossed for AAC guys, it's going to happen, we're going to make it great.
We can probably talk about that in the next podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely. Josh Grail! Josh Grailey! Josh Grailey was really fun to chat with.
He is my favorite metalhead now.
I know, I didn't know that he was a metalhead, that's pretty great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Talking about My Hero Academia, and talking about like Princess Jellyfish, and like he got so excited that I brought that up, because that's actually one of his personal favorites. And the same with The Devil's a Part-Timer, in which he played the devil. But it's such a great role. It's like, hey, the devil loses his powers, and it turns out he kind of enjoys having no powers and just a regular job. Doesn't have to worry about all the really, really tough shit about running hell. So I guess that is the end of this half of the podcast.
Just to point out some of the other guests that we had, though, we did have a lot of the other My Hero Academia leads. So
yes,
that was really cool. And
but no Chris Sabat.
Chris Sabat.
But it is, and that is going to lead into a panel thing that we did in the next segment for our show.
Right. I was about to say, why did we talk about Flow? Right, because Flow technically isn't a panel. That was a concert. That was a guest concert, which was fun, but yeah, sound issues. Please, you gotta fix the acoustics in there, Hines. Please.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. So, for our listeners, if you want to check out the second half of the podcast show, of the post Anime Boston 2018 podcast show, you can go over to nerdyshow.com/wickedanime in the next couple of days, and you will hear our thoughts on panels, merch, and more than likely, the final thoughts. And hopefully, let me check my phone just to see if nothing yet. You might hear a couple other people joining us for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can also go to Stitcher and Audioboom
and iTunes and all those other places that you can go find podcasts, except for
SoundCloud.
That's the only one that we don't have.
Sad.
That we don't have.
We love our SoundCloud.
We did, yeah. But and we're still getting followers on it, even though we have stopped posting there altogether. But
it's cool. Well, hopefully they'll hear that last recording you did and be like, "Oh, that's where they went."
Yeah.
So, listeners, until the next couple of days, this is your King Baby.Doc Evan Borga.
Lead Forge Eric.
Andrew from Wicked Anime.
Jonathan from Wicked Anime.
Telling you to stick around for part two of the Anime Boston 2018 post show.
But it sure helps.